Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, and welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski, and I got my co-host, Dr. Carl. And today we have another special guest. It's the farm babe from, as you may know her as. Do you tell people your real name on social media?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because some people are like, nah, I don't want to mess around. People are crazy. So,
yep, Michelle Miller, a.k.a. the farm babe, whichever one you refer to.
So she is somebody I always refer to. Any, like, agricultural questions. You know, my brother and I, we get into, you know, the health outcomes. But there are certain things that we're not experts in agriculture. In fact, we haven't done any manual labor in our life. other than beating people up on the wrestling mat, maybe. Yeah. But
I married into it.
Yeah.
My wife is a nurse, and she grew up on a farm.
Perfect.
My father-in-law still does. It's kind of like a hobby for him. He grows soybeans primarily, and farms that and stuff. So we have a little bit of insight, but God knows we haven't done any of that. and in fact, our dad, you know, our dad, remember, he had kind of in his family, aunts and uncles, he used to go to the farm. And I mean, he actually did a lot of stuff. He used to, remember, didn't he like milk cows and work on the farm a little bit once in a while?
I don't know.
Probably why he's a harder worker than we are, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming you guys work pretty hard in the gym, you know?
We have our realms of life where we've worked very hard, but it's very specific to what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I work hard on my memes. That's what
I do. That's about all he does anymore.
Perfect. You do make great memes.
Thank you.
That's
how we've become friends over the year, right? Is like sharing each other's memes and posts.
Yeah, sarcastic memes and whatever.
Oh, yeah. I've got a PhD in sarcasm. Absolutely.
Oh, perfect. Well,
Spencer did a fellowship in clinical memeology.
Yeah, that's my specialty.
I'm so jealous. Well, you guys are cool up there from Michigan. Agriculture is awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Michigan's like the second or third most diverse agricultural state in the country. So you guys are fortunate there with all the orchards and asparagus and all sorts of cool stuff that Michigan's known for. So you're right in the heart of it.
Michigan. Tell what's your background? How'd you get into this? Is that what your family was into this or?
No, not really. I actually was pretty much a city girl. So what's funny about it is, I'm originally from Wisconsin, Oshkosh, Wisconsin's my hometown. And I was in 4-H and I was involved and interested in farming as a kid. And in high school, you know, you take those tests, you meet with your guidance counselors and everything. And everybody told me I should be in agriculture. I should be in a veterinarian or be a farmer, work with livestock in some capacity, which I really loved. But I wanted to know what life was like outside of Wisconsin. I actually had got a fashion degree from Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Worked for Gucci on Rodeo Drive. So,
oh my God. That's like the opposite.
Yeah, that is fascinating.
Yeah, the complete opposite. So I was very much a city girl, you know, and kind of to y'all's point with diet and exercise, I used to be really into that. It's still my dream to compete, but I know that's impossible and friggin' difficult, but kudos to the people that do it. But when you're involved in that realm, diet and exercise and everything, you know, you have these personal trainers and everything that just tells you, oh, you got to follow this gluten-free, organic, non-GMO diet. And I used to believe all that. And then it wasn't until I actually dated a farmer that I moved to Iowa and like was submerged in everything. Yeah. And so I really became interested. This was about a decade ago that I've been involved in agriculture now for just shy of a decade. And it was really kind of this big city girl turned farmer that really opened my eyes, you know, because like he was growing Monsanto GMOs and he had feedlots and, you know, fed corn to cattle and, you know, anything that people have questions about when it comes to hormones and antibiotics. I basically started debunking all of the myths that I once believed. And so the farm babe was born 8 years ago as a spinoff to the food babe who was so full of crap. But you know, if you would have met me 20 years ago, I would have been all hail the food babe, right?
Yeah.
So it's been funny because my life has taken like a complete 180 of believing every myth under the sun to realizing that food companies and activist groups and stuff, like, they'll stop at nothing to sell a product, including point blank lies about conventional agriculture or GMOs or whatever that is. So, I'm big into the science communication space, and I want to give farmers and experts, like the real experts, a bigger voice, not just like the marketing that we're hearing in the grocery store and stuff, you know?
Yeah, so, that's awesome. Well, and you know, we had Food Science Babe on recently.
Yeah.
So you guys always communicate, and she's really more the food science sort of aspect. And mm-hmm. so this is really a perfect follow-up. So we got into some of that stuff with her from her perspective. So this is really cool to have you follow up from the agricultural perspective.
Yeah. And Food Science Babe is awesome. And, you know, her and I actually have similar backgrounds too. I think she probably told you she used to be like a big organic only proponent and all that stuff too. And I think that's kind of her and I have these similar paths, you know, where we both started as a spinoff of the Food Babe and the bogus information out there, but then she's kind of like the food science end and I'm more like the agricultural end. So yeah, between us, we partner together quite well with.
Yeah. That's kind of why we wanted you on as well. Cause there's certain other things about agriculture. I have questions. Again, we're not experts mm-hmm. in this. So it was your boyfriend from 10 years ago, got you into this. And then what happened then? Like, how did you're just like,
well, is he still your boyfriend or significant other?
Nope. We broke up right before the pandemic. And now I live on a farm in Florida. It's a timber farm actually. So yeah, so it started off, homeboy never put a ring on my hand. So I decided
I hope he's listening to this.
Yeah, he already knows.
Should have put a ring on it.
Yeah.
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
That's the truth. So yep. So I put myself back out there in this horrible thing we call dating land and, just trying to navigate it one day at a time, but I travel a lot. So it's cool. So you know, I'm primarily a keynote speaker and an online influencer. And so as an influencer, I've spent, pretty much like the last 10 years traveling to whether it's universities, schools, agribusinesses, farms, anything where I can learn whatever it takes. So like I did a partnership with Michigan Asparagus Committee, for example. And so, just going out there and touring and doing video and pictures and posts about like, where does your asparagus come from? And like encouraging people to buy Michigan grown asparagus or whatever that is. And so, it's been fun. I really just want to help people navigate this crazy world of like, where does our food come from? And it's awesome. But I moved down to Florida a couple of years ago and it's pretty sweet down here too, because it's kind of like Michigan where you've got a lot of produce. You know, down here you've got fruits and vegetables and still some of the grains and livestock, but then, sugar cane and citrus and all sorts of fun stuff. So I'm learning all different commodities from all different parts of the country and internationally as well.
What kind of farm are you on?
Timber.
Timber.
Yeah.
So are you going to start an app called Timber? It's going to be a different dating app than Tinder. And then...
Oh my God. That's a great idea.
We've already talked about this. We've already been thinking about that. Absolutely.
Nice.
It's nice because it's a crop I only have to harvest every 30 years. And I'm so busy traveling that like, I really want to be a farmer again someday, but at the moment it's just me. And so with my travel schedule, I can barely keep a house plant alive. So
that's great. We have all sorts of questions we want to go over, but like,
shoot,
what are the most common things that just drive you nuts? I asked the Food Science Babe the same thing, and we kind of got into the organic versus conventional a little bit. And then hers was probably the GMO thing drove her the crazy. But I see you posting about like when they talk about chicken, this chicken didn't have antibiotics used. And it's like, well, they never do that and use antibiotics or hormones on chickens. Things like that. What are the top three? I would
definitely say that hormones and antibiotics for sure. GMOs drive me crazy, but also just a lot of the myths around factory farming.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So like 97% of farms in the US and Canada are family farms.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of these family farms, you know, they have become bigger, they have become incorporated, but I would say that their values as farmers haven't really changed. They're still great salt of the earth people who put their entire life, blood, sweat, and tears into caring for animals. So whether a farmer is raising 10 or 10,000, they're still working to care for those animals as best you can. It's just that as your farm grows, you just have more employees. And so it's a matter of, do you want to manage cows or do you want to manage people to manage your cows? But regardless, if you look at the care that goes into it and the science behind, you know, how are we able to, there is no such thing as added hormones or steroids in chicken. That's true. So when you read the package that says no added hormones, you just have to read the asterisk and the fine print because it's like not a thing.
Yeah.
And so food labels drive me bonkers because it's like, yeah, this chicken is, you know, what it's wood free, you know, like it's like,
right.
it's there's nothing, it's not in it. It doesn't even happen. But then antibiotics, all meat is antibiotic free because if antibiotics are used, there's that withdrawal period before the animal can legally go to market, which means that all meat is free of antibiotics. But if you see a label that says no antibiotics ever, that means that it was never given an antibiotic, which I think is actually pretty cool because back in like the 90s, antibiotics used to be pretty regularly used as a form of like preventative care where they'd be in the water or the feed. And nowadays that's really not a thing. So a vast majority of farms can raise animals with no antibiotics ever. If they do get sick or if they do have to treat a flock or a herd, those are just removed and separated from the rest of the herd. And those are no longer allowed to carry the label no antibiotics ever. So they can still be antibiotic free, but no antibiotics ever. So there's two different things. But really all it is the fact that like, because of science and technology, improving ventilation, housing, welfare, everything. There's a ton of science that go, I mean, I've toured some of the nation's largest cattle feedlots. I've toured the nation's largest poultry farms. I've been in the barns with Purdue and egg layers and all this stuff. And the more I see and the more I learn, the more I just wish that I could bring everybody with me because like, I think debunking the whole big farm is bad is my favorite myth to bust. Like big farms can be just as awesome.
I would love it because we see all these things all that and we're not there and we're like I'm kind of scared to see one of these places because I do enjoy having meat.
You know? Yeah, we're meatheads. Despite arguing with the carnivores and low carb zealots we are actually meatheads.
But the vegans will bring up like you like killing animals and you like the way that they're treated mistreated. I'm like I've never actually been to a farm so I don't know.
So maybe you can tell us about it.
Treated very well. And, you know, Spence, I actually was thinking about you because I want to get you on the Poultry Education Center is actually right there in North Carolina. So recently I was at University of Mount Olive and you should really connect with these guys because they would love to have you, or I could do an e-intro, but you should totally check out this Poultry Education Center. It's in Pine Tops, North Carolina.
Okay.
But that's like probably one of my favorite places that's like kind of open to the public for appointments and they, you know, work with different schools and education. You got to get out there because like, it's like farms are not trying to hide anything. Right. But it's just a matter of like trust because a lot of the undercover videos and the stuff that vegans put out there is stuff that's like staged or is footage that's recycled or it could be from another country or they could take like that one pig that's having a bad day and zoom in on it with a sad song and a jewelry filter and that's how they make their money for fundraising.
So
it's like, you know, okay, so you zoomed in on the pig that's got a broken leg. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, sometimes it happens. But then they make it sound like that's how they're raised. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, bro, like zoom out. There's like 7,000 really happy pigs that are running around just comfortable and fine. But that's just not that's not what they want. They want people to believe that livestock are raised in cruel conditions. The dairy industry, I think, has a lot of really awful myths around it, too, you know, where they're like, oh, these calves are just ripped away from their mothers the second they're born. And it's like, it's just crazy. I wish that they could see what we see as farmers. It's like, there is a reason why calves are removed from the cows. And there's a lot of reasons, but I've seen it time in and time out where these cows give birth to a calf and then they just look at it and pretty much like shrug their shoulders and walk away from it.
Oh, no.
So I just found a book recently. It's called like, You're Not That Bad of a Mom or something. And it talks about animals and how like animals don't like, we're so used to humanizing things. It's like, could you imagine what would happen if somebody took your baby away from you? And I'd be like, I don't know. That might not be so bad, but like, No, but it's like, we're like, animals aren't humans, right? Okay, so yeah. I don't have kids. I'm like allergic to kids. So that's why I can't get that though, because like I just have like zero maternal instinct. I would be a bad mother. If I was a cow, I would be a dairy cow and they would take the calf away from me. but because I don't have kids. I don't, you know, kids just aren't my thing. Okay. More power to moms. But you know, dairy cows don't care. Like they just walk away from their calf. Maybe they'll step on it. Pigs will literally eat their baby pigs. Like,
oh my God. Not,
it's gross. Like koalas will feed poop to their babies. Like, can we stop humanizing everything?
Yeah, just right.
Because you take a calf from a cow doesn't mean that they feel the same way. They're more likely to ignore that calf. You know, when a farmer helps that calf along, it's to make sure that calf is getting the best care possible, you know, that like it is getting colostrum and is getting the perfect amount of food. And also the dairy cow is going to make way too much milk for one calf. And so you've got to milk that cow. Otherwise she could get mastitis or get sick because she's produced so much milk. It's like, you've got to milk the cow. Otherwise it's painful for them. So, you know, there's really a lot of reasons, but
yeah. What about the insemination? I think who is it? There's this Iowa dairy farmer guy. He's an influencer. Oh, yeah. We have no idea. We don't know anything about farming or agriculture other than I love milk. And I was really sad to see there was the Fairlife thing. Was it Fairlife or I don't know?
It was Fairlife because we use Fairlife.
I love Fairlife milk. I love Fairlife. It's the best tasting milk I've ever, I don't buy anything else, but for
they
a
also
while
have
there,
like the lower sugar versions and stuff.
It's
and
higher protein, whatever, drinks. But it's the taste. I don't know what it is. It tastes so good. It's the ultra pasteurization. I have no idea.
I would say that, but yeah.
It's something about it tastes extremely good, better than any other brand. But then when that video came out, I was like, oh man. Like, yeah. I can't ethically buy this milk right now. So I didn't for a while, actually. But it might have been you or someone else that I'm not sure who convinced
me. Yeah. So the animal rights activists, you know, you could tell that was clearly a staged, planned attack on Fair Oaks Farms. I've been to Fair Oaks Farms. I know these farmers personally, and they do a good job. And so when that video surfaced, I was like, wait a minute. Like, and so... So I don't know. Some people say that it was the animal rights activists that they actually staged the video. And I've heard this happen multiple times where like, that's how they get paid. So these undercover activists, they act like, you know, they kind of lie on their job applications to get hired, and then they'll film and they'll say like, oh, I'll give you $100 if you go hit that cow or whatever. So they can film it. Like if you really care about animals, like why do you continue to let the cameras roll? Like if I saw somebody hitting my cow, like I would be throwing the camera down to go save my cow and go beat the guy's ass that hit the cow.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's some people that claim that they are the ones that, you know, actually did it. However, let's just say for argument's sake, let's just say that that guy was a total jerk to that cow. Well, guess what? He got fired. Cameras were implemented. Like they never want that to happen again. Are we going to say that every farmer or farm employee is perfect? Absolutely not. There's going to be a shithead in every industry. So like if he was the shithead, well, guess what? He was terminated. It was addressed. It'll never happen again. But the fact that they put that out there publicly and they planned this attack with like all these other animal rights activist groups where they all said, okay, we're all going to release this video on the same day. It went viral globally. I was in Australia at the time. Even I saw it.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, this was like a globally planned attack where they were asking people to donate. That's how they make money. And so they would love to have people stop eating milk or drinking milk and eating dairy and animal products. That's their whole goal. And so by saying, oh, well, this is where your dairy comes from. It's like, okay, so you filmed one asshole. Like that doesn't mean that the entire industry sucks. You know, it's just, that's their agenda.
Yeah. I mean, that happens with, you know, in our profession too. I mean, there are plenty of physicians who are quacks. And they give us a bad name. There are pharmacists who are quacks and give them a bad name.
Yes.
I mean, even like the people who maybe have a higher percentage of quacks, you know, and what, you know, chiropractors, naturopaths, some of them really do mean well and try to stick to their role and help people in the way that they can. Mm-hmm. But there are assholes that are, you know, doing it for themselves and trying to trick people. So that's what, I guess my question to that is, why do those people want all of us to quit drinking milk and cheese.
Because they're vegans.
I know, but I guess, but
because they think they think it's unethical. They really do. They think anything that has to do with.
But then they go to the extreme to like over exaggerate what they might already think is an issue. And then, and that's, and we could debate those things, I guess, just like in politics, but then they lie to try to prove their point. And it really just becomes a, you know, a tribalism, which is a problem in everything we apparently have to deal with these days.
Yeah. I would say you pretty much just hit the nail on the head. Some of them are just really passionate extremists, you know, where it's like, no matter what we say, I could tell them that dairy cows are raised, you know, like, I don't even like the world's best cared for, which I would argue they kind of are. Like, I don't know, man, the more of these larger scale farms that I go on, the more I'm just like, wow, like it's incredible how well these animals are cared for.
You're going to start walking in with a cow costume on or.
Yeah. Right. Right. But it's like, you know, no amount of information is going to change a vegan extremist mind because no matter what you tell them, they still believe we should not eat animals. You know, I'm a hunter. I hunt, I fish. I grew up eating what we killed. And I believe that animals are there for us to eat. Animals eat animals. Humans eat animals. Animals eat humans. Like, this is just the way that it works. And there's nothing you could say to get me to give up animal protein. Like, it's just, it's, and it's the same way with them. It's like, I will not, there's, I love meat. That's not going to change.
Here's a question. Okay. New technologies are coming out and they're making milk, dairy products out of bacteria or whatever how they're producing this. I don't know if you've read about this, but what if,
and you, I was asking food science babe about these, know what the term was, but these manufactured meats in these huge silos
they're kind of
with animal
kind of
cells.
Stuff.
They're creating meat without having live animals.
I guess the question is, if they figured out a way to make it exactly the same tasting dairy, like a Fairlife or whoever came, if somebody came out with it was a milk, but it didn't come from a cow and it tasted exactly the same and had the same molecular properties. I mean, personally, I would drink it. I don't know. But I guess the question is, it's because that's supposed to be more ethical. But what you're saying is that it's already ethical or it's already, they do such a good job, it doesn't matter. Or I don't know. I don't really have a huge opinion because I'm not that well informed, I guess I should say, on the topic.
Sure as hell aren't.
So milk, right? I freaking love milk. I drink it like it's water. That's why my biceps are, they used to be bigger. I don't know, whatever. I'm aging. I'm old. I'm old now. but I love milk. So the idea is that, you wouldn't even have to have dairy cows anymore producing these. You could produce it however they're doing, they're using these bacteria, that whatever they're doing that produce these peptides that, like, right, there's like whey protein and some other things to where they don't even have to come from a cow. And so I guess the question is, if it tastes as good and it's like just as good for you, like, why not do it that way? I suppose, I don't know. It's these are kind of interesting technologies that are coming out.
And you know, you're right. And it's like, as you move into different technologies on how to do this, my big thing is just, how is the marketing? Because the reason why I boycott any type of Impossible Foods or Beyond Meat or anything like that, first of all, it's called Impossible because I think it's impossible to make it taste good. I've tried it. I'm totally open-minded, right? Like, you name it, I'll try it. But I think it tastes like crap.
Yeah, but more, they're not doing well.
But more importantly, the marketing. Like, it's like, okay, don't get me wrong. I love a good black bean burger once in a while, or like a Boca burger. I especially like a Boca burger, for example, because it's got lower calories. Which, by the way, we have to talk about getting me on a weight loss plan. Okay, so that's the next chapter after this. But you know, calories, right? It's when I look at, if you look at the calorie count of like a Beyond or Impossible or whatever, like, a lot of them still have, they're not as good for you. They still have like the calorie, super high calorie count. They're super processed. Like it's no better for you.
Right. So you might especially the Impossible Burger,
the Whopper.
Yeah.
I tried the Whopper. I tried that Impossible Whopper once. Yeah. I was like, it's all right. It's just,
well, and it has the exact same macronutrient content, and it, if I'm not mistaken, the same amount of saturated fat and stuff. So
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So it's purely an ethical perspective for them, really. Yeah. From a marketing perspective, right?
Yeah, but they put down animal agriculture. Like the CEO of Beyond Meat has been caught on camera, like quoting, saying, like their goal is to end animal agriculture. So again, it goes down to this vegan extremist mentality where it's like, can't we all just get along? Like, I like a Boca burger. I like a veggie burger once in a while. I don't mind purchasing your product if there's an advantage or benefit. But if all you're going to do is say, well, you have to buy alternative meat sources because meat is raised in a horrific fashion with, you know, pumped full of hormones, antibiotics, and factory farming, that's when I'm going to give you the finger. And I am never going to support or promote or eat or purchase your product. And so, and this is just kind of the trend in general. Like there's a reason why I boycott anything that says non-GMO or organic or any of these meat alternatives because of the bad marketing. Like talk about what you do well, talk about what you do right, talk about what you're proud of. But the second that you lie or throw a different production method under the bus is when you lost me. You know what I mean? Like if you want to talk about ethics, like be ethical in your marketing efforts. You know what I mean?
God, you must love politics.
I stay out of politics as much as I can. Actually, some people get mad at me because like in the last election, like I didn't even vote. And people are like, what the hell? You got to vote. And I was like, you know why I didn't vote? Because I have no faith in the system anymore. Like, I
give up.
I give up. I don't even think that it's like true. Like, I think it's all BS. I don't know. I just have no trust or faith in it. So it's like, even if I did vote, like, would it even matter? Like, is it just whoever?
What if there was one candidate that wanted to make sure agriculture was stuck around? Would you have voted for them? I don't know. I don't even know if there's any candidates.
I guess that's the other part of it too, right? Is like, maybe I just haven't found a politician that I'm like, oh yes. You know, like, I just think they all suck.
Yeah, they do. So, I mean, they do. It is.
Like, I don't like anybody, and I'm very much a fence sitter politically. Like, I lean right some ways and lean left some ways, and like, I don't really publicly discuss my political opinion.
Probably like most people. Yeah.
Yeah. Most people are kind of like that.
Are they?
Yeah. No,
I think most people are.
You're right.
We don't have to get too far out, but I will say that the extremists, the loudest people tend to be a little bit extreme. That's why you think most people are one way, but most people are kind of centered around, I think anyway, people are probably listening to this going, you guys are full of shit.
Well, it's kind of that small percentage that's so loud, you know?
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Which goes back to what we're talking about. The extremists, loud extremists voices are loud. Always get the attention in all these food myths.
Yeah.
We're going to leave off right there with part one of the interview with the Farm Babe. Here's our outro.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.